Father God, we thank you once again for this appointed time. And Father, we thank you for your providence. Father, we thank you when we don't understand what you're doing, when we just see what you're doing. And Father, sometimes we also need to thank you because even when we don't like what you're doing, Father, we know that you are doing what's best for us. So Father, help us to trust you in how you're moving in our lives. Help us to trust you when we're not understanding. Trust you when we're not feeling good. To trust you as sometimes is even painful. But just to trust you that you will take us where we need to go. Because as your word said, the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man, the steps of one who trusts you are ordered by you. So Father, help every person here whose footsteps you ordered here today. Let them have a heart of gratitude for your word, for this time, for the ability to still make a change in their life. Because, Father, if it was too late, they wouldn't be here. So, Father, anoint this place. Anoint me as your vessel. And, Father, may your word go forth and accomplish all of its purposes and bear much fruit in you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right, maybe seated. So we're going to do a quick review. So how does this month's theme, let's look at that. How does it connect to last month? Again, last month, what was the theme? No, last month. See, remember, God... Remember that name, El Yon. All right, so we understand that. What does he establish? He establishes a pattern. All right, so when he establishes the pattern, what is he looking from for you to follow the pattern? All right, so let's understand a couple things. We know that he is the giver of life. Amen? But we have to understand that in his patterns are life. Because, see, anything and everything that God does and he touches, what does it have? It has life. See, so what you and I have to understand is what is always operating in us? Death. So I have to understand that I need that life to counteract that death because that death doesn't need any help from me. It's already going to send me to one place. There's only one destination. So death. So what you and I want to see is death is not the cessation of physical life. Death is a separation from your God. So what inside me, what is it working toward naturally to separate me from God? Now, does it matter how he separates me? No, because what's going to be the result? What I want to show you, we're going to add something to you. See, what's already working? Death. So when I get this separation, I speed up the process. So what you and I want to see is in this upcoming year, everybody knows this, but you've never connected the dots until now. You've always known that before he comes, what does he have to do? What did Jesus say he's going to do? He's going to separate. So you need to understand, that means folks going to be dying. That means people going to be falling away because they're not taking advantage of the life. So you and I got to realize, so what does the enemy want me to do? He doesn't want me to follow the pattern. Because if I follow the pattern, what can it counteract on its own? The death that's in me that's working. So we got to understand, why did the Lord prophesy all them 10 years, 12 years ago, to this time? See, remember, what we're talking about now, come on people, isn't new. No, the difference was he pointed out 2018 would be the year of transition. We are not in transition anymore. We are in full-fledged death mode. So what's going to separate people? Close. Before they went into the promised land, what did Joshua tell the children of Israel? He told them, you got to make a choice. But he never said, choose the promised land. What did he say? He broke it down. Your choice was between life and death. So we have to understand the ambassadors of this new life cannot be making the choice. They have to already have made it. Hence, what do we all have to go through? What has the body of Christ been going through this last year, toward the end of the year? A consecration mode. In other words, what is he getting you? What has he been getting you to do? Consecrate yourself. True, but no, see it a different way. Connect the dots. To follow the pattern. See, I have to follow the pattern because what's in the pattern? Life. So I have to understand, one, go back 2 months. There's honor in sacrificing. So watch what you have to understand. In the Father's kingdom, everybody sacrifices. The death in me is going to ask me to do what, people? Don't sacrifice. What's another way to say it, Norma? Be selfish. So one of the ways the Spirit is separating the sheep is based on sacrifice, selfishness. Because if I'm selfish, what am I going to do naturally? Not sacrifice, true, but no. Watch again. I'm going to look out for self, true, go deeper. I'm not going to follow the pattern. Keep going, y'all getting close. It's another S word. You thinking God is going to do all the separating. He's not. You're going to separate yourself. See, either I'm going to separate myself unto him or I'm going to separate myself unto self. Now, when I understand there's honor in sacrificing, then what have I separated myself unto? That's sacrifice. In other words, I've separated myself from everything that's not self. So I got to see the season differently, and it's a beautiful thing to live in this season if you have separated yourself. If you haven't separated yourself, you're going to struggle with the season, just like the Israelites did. And we're going to see it. You're going to understand some things completely different about Shavuot and it really New Moon 3, because you're going to see some things. Again, what's our theme this month? No, what's the theme? New life, it demands you face reality. So understand, every single one of you here has been living a fantasy in some means. Now, what does the Spirit want me to do starting today? To face reality, because I can't get the fullness of this life without facing reality. So how do I get the fullness of the life? One of the ways is I accept death is working in me. See, if I don't accept that death's working, I just call it self. I just call it who I am. Now, I want y'all to really be honest, facing reality. How many people have you heard or you've even said that's just the way they are? That's a lie. We accept that lie. Here's the truth. That's the way they want to be. Anybody see the difference? That's not the way you are, because the Spirit is constantly changing us. No, that's the way I want to be, and I want God to accept it too. What is every year the counting of the Omer about? Verb change. There's no one here, including me, who can truthfully sit up here before anybody and say, I don't need to change. I'm fine the way I am. And God has appointed this time to change. So we're nearing the end of the time for the change. So I got to understand, if I don't change by Shavuot, I don't have another appointed time to change. I have an appointed time to do some other things. But it will not be change. Because there's only one year, one time of the year, that's appointed specifically to change. And it's called what? The counting of the Omer. And that's why, what am I supposed to be doing every day? Counting. I'm counting what? Up. I'm not counting down. I'm counting up. Watch me. Lord, 44, 44, 45, 46, 47. In other words, watch Job. I'm counting till my change comes. See, that's what all that, that's all that counting is you getting your spirit expectant for a change. So come Saturday, what should you expect, those of you who set aside? Now watch God. You might not have set aside all 50 days, but you still can expect some change because you count it. Watch Israel. Watch the separation. So is God going to go, okay, I'm going to separate Deborah and Tisha? No. All he's going to do is turn the temperature up, and one of them going to walk away. Now watch what the one who wants the change says. And I'm going to ask you this question before we really dive in, because this is a whole new season. God says that he is the potter. We are the clay. So how can any clay be made beautiful without what the clay would consider abuse on the hands of the potter? Come on, those of you who would ever work with it, the potter is abusing the clay. He's cutting it, he's turning it, he's putting force on it. But what does the clay need to understand? If I sit still and let him cut on me, let him work on me, let him spin me around, come on, control freaks, let me lose control of my life, then he makes me in something so beautiful I could have never imagined it. And does he need your help? What does he need you to do? Submit there, trust, and just sit. Are you hearing him? He needs you to sit, because what is he doing during these 40 days, these 50 days? He's working on you. He's cutting you. He's shaping you. He's forcing you. He's pushing you, and you don't like it. You're not supposed to like it. You're supposed to sit still. See the difference? I don't have to like the processing. I just got to trust in the results. So why am I going to sit still? For the results. So what does the separated one know? It's all about the results. It's not about the processing. So now let's dive so we can start to understand. New life means I have to face reality. Now watch us. Don't we all want new life? But I can't get it. Come on, people. I got to face a reality. And every parent know what I'm getting ready to say. There are times in your child's life you cannot give them what they want, because it will hurt them. You have to deny them sometimes, because while they know what they want, they do not know what that will do to them by getting it. So God is not answering your prayer. He's not giving you what you want. Because right now, that's not good for me. So let's see. Let's go. I mean, we're going to introduction. Facing reality. So where does understanding new life demands facing reality begin? So here's where we start. With me realizing what? The wilderness is what? Underline that. The wilderness is the testing ground. God has appointed the testing ground to be only one thing. What's it called? The wilderness. So let's face reality. You're not getting tested all the time. You're not getting attacked by the devil all the time. And that's a lie. When has he appointed you to be processed? The county of the omen. Where has he called you or appointed you to be processed? In the wilderness. So by default, if I'm in the wilderness at the appointed time, I'm not going to have enough of what I think I need. So there's no use in me praying to get more. Now, what do we remember last time? When they prayed for more, what did the quail become? Who remembers? Poison to them. So what am I not going to do during these 40 days, these 50 days? What am I not going to do? I'm not going to pray for more anything. I'm just going to trust him with what I have that is going to get me through. So let's get that down. It is the what? Testing ground. Let's go on. For doing what? Here's the reality that people run from. They run from the wilderness, not knowing the wilderness is appointed to improve your life. Because, watch again, in my understanding, where's the last place I think would improve my life? The wilderness. Now, what did God already say? One, my thoughts, my ways. So you cannot use logic with God. The moment you try to use logic, you're in your flesh. Because logically, you want to improve my ways, take me to a nice place. For God, where are you going? Come on, people. So watch me. And I'm going to go there every year. Because you can't change all of me at one time. And he can't change all of you at one time. So he's gracious enough to spread it out. So let's watch it. What does God want to do, people? No, watch again. He want to improve my life. I'm going to show you something that you never thought about it. And that's what he wanted to do for his son, improve his life. Because where was the first place he sent him? To the wilderness. So you've never thought about him encountering Satan was actually going to improve his life. It did. When did he encounter Satan? Not in the beginning when he was at full strength. He encountered him at the end when he was at his weakest. So, people of God, how does God do it? He takes me where? Wilderness, which is a place I don't want to go, where I'm going to go through things I don't want to go through. And no matter how strong I try to be, he's going to keep me there till I'm at my weakest point. And now what do we find out about ourselves? Reality. Reality now. Now we're going to face reality. All right. So let's read it. As certain humility, obedience, and dependence are only learned in the wilderness. See, there's certain things you can't learn anywhere except in the wilderness. In other words, you can't say you're humble when you have everything. You can't say, Lord, I praise you when you got everything and everything going good. True praise comes when it's not going good. It's true praise comes when I say, my God shall supply, even though I don't see it right now. That my God can save me, but even if he chooses not to save me. See, that's humility. Everybody bold when they got a pocket full of money. When everything going good, everybody praise God. You never hear one of those athletes or somebody say, man, I praise God that that man sucker punched me and knocked me out. You don't ever hear that, do you? But what did Job, the righteous one, say right after he lost this stuff, right after his wife cursed me? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's wilderness. So let's learn some stuff, reality. So let's watch it. Watch another fantasy. With realizing Israel was not lost or randomly wandering. When we think of Israel in the wilderness, what do we think they were doing? Just wandering. They weren't wandering. They were specifically being led. And out of those 40 years, they really only walked about three. They say put the rest of those times. But what's our fantasy? They just walking around like they lost. No, they couldn't go anywhere but where the cloud told them they could go. So watch what you got to underline this in your paper too. They were led with intent. What was the Spirit doing? During this wilderness, he was specifically leading them because he was trying to improve the quality of their life. What's he doing to some of y'all? He's trying to improve it. But he doesn't do it the way I think he should do it. All right. Somebody give me a paper towel because I'm getting ready to get soaked. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 4. Now watch. Pay attention to this. Remember, with intent. Thank you. Okay.
You are to remember everything of the way in which Adonai led you these 40 years in the desert, humbling and testing you in order to know what was in your heart.
Yeah. Take him up and keep him up. Yeah, that's not, we worry about it. This is part of our test. Don't worry. Everything going to go wrong. We cool.
During these 40 years? During these 40 years?
That's better.
The clothing you were wearing didn't grow old and your feet didn't swell up.
All right, let's do that again so everybody can hear you. Yeah, read it out. Put something in it.
During these 40 years, the clothing you were wearing didn't grow old and your feet didn't swell up.
All right. So watch again. Let's look at the first part. He says you are to remember. Okay? So let's watch. Where were they? In the wilderness. Where had they come from? Egypt. Remember, they weren't allowed to take much. They go in there. What's God trying to do? Enhance their life. So watch. But you're not getting. Come on, Freddie. Come on. Somebody help Freddie out. What was God trying to do? He's trying to improve their life. Come on, y'all can come with me because I got time today. Come on. What was God trying to do? But to improve your life, he can't let you take stuff. He can't let you take the stuff you want to take with you. He has to take you just a step above naked. Because you know some of y'all, y'all can't go away for 2 days and y'all got 15 suitcases. So what did he make sure? Some of y'all, go ahead and point to some of y'all, because some of y'all know, just point, I'm one of them. You can't be that way. To travel, you got to travel light. So on this trip, let's make sure we got it, people. They could not take what they wanted to take, because they didn't know the effect that would have on them 40 days later. Just 40 days. All right, watch again. Three, he says he humbled you. He allowed you. John, go back to number three real quick because I got to do this before we start off. All right, everybody read it. Let's go. He humbled you. Come on. Stop. Who told you you're supposed to eat three times a day? Who told you you're supposed to eat every day? Jesus said, my disciples will fast often. So what? Come on, often. Don't drop your heads on me. Yes, because, watch again, your humility is tied to your desire for food. People will kill people for food. People will give up birthrights for food. Come on. Yes. So what will God allow in your life for you to go hungry? Watch little kids when both of them hungry, or as one of my grandchildren said, hangry. Yeah, hangry. And I was like, what's hangry? When you're angry and you're hungry. How do some people get? They get ruthless. Now let's do this. Now, watch carefully. Then he fed you with what? Manna. So did you see that coming? Could they have imagined that coming? Y'all didn't just catch that. So he took you where? To the wilderness. And in your mind, you're saying, I don't want to go there because there's no food there. I don't want to go there because it's hot there. I don't want to go there because there's snakes and things there. But you should want to go there because that's where the miracles are. Did they know they were going to have that miracle? Next part. Which? All right, stop. Together. Let's go. Which? All right, so some of y'all need to get rid of this fantasy to know what God is doing. You're not going to know what God is doing. God's going to take you to a place you've never been. So I got to stop wanting to know, and I got to start trusting and go. Let's finish it up. To what? Come on, people. All right, stop again. Let's restart again. Let's go. To? That's reality. I don't need food. I don't need clothing. I need his word. He will take care of that. And then Jesus say the same thing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. For your God, what? He knows all that. You won't trust him with that until you get into the wilderness and you have no choice. Because as long as you got a choice to do things your way, you're going to take it. So he has to take you to a place where you don't have a choice so that you can see he's faithful. Watch four, real quick. During these what? What? So here's my question. How could they complain under those conditions? Wait a minute. If I'm walking around 40 years in the same clothes, because remember, where are they going to pick up some new clothes? Y'all not catching something. Reality. You and I know if you wear the same clothes 3 or 4 days, we already know there's a pungency to those clothes. Come on, isn't it? And they were in the desert too. And they had no deodorant. So you need to understand something else was in there. And please, and this is not a bad word, and so don't think it is because it's not. They should have been extremely funky. But they weren't. odoriferous, as Ricardo said. But they weren't. That's a miracle. And you walking around in a hot desert in your shoes, which were not top of the line Nike. They were sandals. And they didn't wear out. Watch the fantasy. Was that a miracle? All right, here's my question, and then we're going to really go fast. So how many of you thank God every day for just being able to breathe? See how they took that for granted? Your shoes didn't wear out, but you still walking. And you should have known, because you would have been in Egypt, you know they was wearing out in Egypt. We take for granted those little things like that. Now, for those of us with back problems, we don't take for granted when we can walk semi-regularly. Where does understanding new life demands face and reality continue? With realizing humility, obedience, and dependence on him makes me a blessing to others. See, when you go through the wilderness, the person that comes out of there is the one that God can use to bless somebody else. He can't use the arrogant person. So if you're arrogant and you thinking God using you, you lying to yourself. He doesn't use the arrogant. Or he would have never said pride, a haughty spirit. Let's read.
The same day Moshe commissioned the people as follows. These are the ones who are to stand on Mount Gerizim and bless the people after you have crossed the Jordan. Shimon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. While these are to stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali.
So when they got there, he had six tribes that pronounced blessings of obedience. Then he had six tribes that pronounced the curses of disobedience. But here's the part you got to catch. They were at the same mountain. They did it at the same time. So we're going to see how powerful that is. A new reality. So where does it end? With realizing the Father ordains blessings and curses to be a fundamental part of my life. What do we tend to think? It's strictly blessings. But you cannot have blessings without having curses. Both of them are integral in my life. So let's learn something about them. I bless the road he ordained I travel when I view it as my road to personal destiny. See, this walk that you're doing, when you realize you're going towards your destiny, what will you do with the road? You'll bless it. Yeah. You'll bless the path that you're on if you truly believe it's taking you to your destiny. So, do I mind going through the wilderness if I know it's going to get me to the promised land? No, I shouldn't. So what will I do? Come on. I will bless the wilderness because I know I got to go through the wilderness before I can get to the promised land. So how am I going to change now with all this hardship that I might experience? I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be blessing God. Because what is it doing to my life? It's improving the quality of it. All right, so let's watch it. Here you go. Let's read them.
See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse.
Stop. Fantasy. What do I think God has set before me? Blessing. But what's the reality? A blessing and a curse. So before you people of God, what is set before you today? A blessing and a curse. When I got to the mountain, what is six pronounced? Blessing, but what did the other six pronounce? Because what is always set before all of us? A blessing and a curse. So here we go. What's before us today, people? So who's making the choice? not God. I am. So what could Joshua tell them to do? Choose. So what is it everybody today has to do before the end of the counting of the Omer? You're going to have to choose to get and be a blessing, or you will automatically get and be a curse. Because there's no in between. So let's read it.
The blessing, if you listen to the mitzvah of Adonai your God that I'm giving you today, and the curse, if you don't listen.
All right, stop. So Jonathan, what did he just tell me my two choices are?
A blessing and a curse.
Blessing and a curse. But he broke it down. What did he break it down? Come on, people. Between if I listen or I don't listen. So some of you will now find out that it hasn't been the devil. It's been you who've introduced some curses in your life.
Amen.
Because you would not
listen.
You remember a kid when you have to tell him something he don't want to hear? Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. What have some of us done?
A bunch of that.
The same thing as adults. As someone told me one time, I don't want to hear that. Well, you've now just opened the door. Let's keep going.
If you don't listen to the mitzvah of Adonai your God, but turn aside from the way I am ordering you today and follow other gods that you have not known.
Justin, just leave him up. Yeah, leave him up. All right, so let's make it personal. What road are you on? No. What road are you on? No. What road are you on? Your road to your destiny. That's the road you're on. But that road takes you where? It takes me through the wilderness. You can't get to the promised land without going through the wilderness. You can't get into heaven if you won't humble yourself. You can't get the rewards if you don't humble yourself. That's why, what did Jesus say? It's easier for a camel to do what than it is for a rich man, because the rich man won't bow down. So in this wilderness, I'm going to learn humility. So does God make me bow down? No, I choose to bow down because he's worthy of my praise. So now let's go deeper. I curse myself when I reject my assignment in his community. All right? As I what? All right, so understand. What road am I on? To my destiny. What road are you on? But you and I have to realize it was he who put our roads together. All right? Who likes to play chess? All right, all you chess people, stand up. All you chess people, come up front. It's part of your wilderness. Don't complain. All right, chess people, come up. I have to do this visually because it's going to make so much sense to you. All right, turn around and face the audience. We're not taping today. All right, be in one line. Because, come on. Here's our reality. With chess, watch what you and I have to understand. What is the point of the game? The capture the king. Watch again. What's the point? The point is not who captures. It doesn't matter, because here we go. He's a pawn. So by definition, thank you, even though you was acting up, thank you. By definition, by his creation, he's limited as to the moves he can make. Right? Now, he could say, watch how they lined up. All right, in a real chess board, what would he be? All right. tonight. Some of y'all can tell don't play chess. All right, that's okay. We're going to make it. No, watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do. All right, what's he going to be? He's the knight. Queen and king, right? All right. What can David not be? He cannot be a rook if God has already placed the rook there. What is God not going to do? He's not going to order her foot to be by the other rook. By definition, where must Marcy be if she's a rook? What would Marcy want to do? Now watch. So we're going to take David. So David's going to be another pawn. He's a big pawn. All right. So watch what you got to understand. According to the rules of the game, these two can never change positions starting out. Can they? She can't do anything but go this way or go that way. Marcy doesn't want to be a rook.